Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for joining us on Primetime. You're with Bharati Jagdish and Timothy Goh. Well, I believe that we have all been touched by scam calls from time to time, right?
Oh, yeah. Time to time or very frequently in recent days.
And I think more and more people have stopped picking up certain phone numbers. I actually screen my calls, all my calls.
I don't have caller ID.
Oh, dear.
But I like to pick up all these scam calls. Because I tried to scam them back.
You have that much time on your hands. You're trying to scam the scammers. My advice, Tim, don't waste your time on them. You have better things to do.
You know, they all go through a script, right?
Yeah.
And you have to just be one step ahead of them and try to derail them from their script, and they hang up on you. It's like victory for everyone who has ever been scammed whenever I achieve that.
Well, I'm sure that's a lot of fun, but it's not fun at all if you are the victim of a scammer.
No.
Now, a recent survey commissioned by APAC, leading cloud communications company, Toku, found that out of the 1,000 respondents in Singapore, 87% of respondents have received a scam call recently, and 75% actually answer the call. So like Tim is part of the 75%, but he did not fall prey to the scammers.
I am not part of the 10% who fell prey to the scammers or suffered any kind of monetary loss.
Yeah, but you know, while you say that smugly, my heart does go out to the people who have fallen prey. 59% of people have shown a higher reluctance now to pick up numbers with a local country code displayed on their phone screens. 41% apparently will still answer the call. This means that people in Singapore can be largely vulnerable to phone scams if they are not vigilant.
Well, Singapore-headquartered Toku is the first telco service provider here and in Southeast Asia to join the global AB handshake community in the fight against fraudulent calls. So how can we spot a scam call? How can we protect ourselves and our loved ones from falling victim to scam calls? Joining us now is Thomas Laboul, founder and CEO of Toku, to tell us all about what goes on behind these scam calls. Hello, Thomas.
Good evening, Tim.
So, Thomas, give us an inside look. How exactly are they carried out? How are they evolving so quickly that people are still falling for these scams?
A complex, of course, landscape, right? You have two big types of scam calls in general. And I would not necessarily just mention the scam calls, because any kind of communication channel nowadays is actually used by these scammers in order to abuse the trust of anyone in the public in Singapore, but also in other markets. So you have the large-scale scammers that are using, for example, robocalls and can just automate a large number of calls that are going out, large number of SMSs that are going out, same thing on WhatsApp or email. There is not a single communication channel, I believe, that is currently safe from actually having scammers using them, right? Mm. And with these volumes, these are typically quite basic scams. However, they are just trying their luck, right? It's based on probability, the number and volume of the scams going out through the communication channel, that eventually you will be successful because someone will be inattentive, or just there will be some kind of coincidence that will make the person believe more in the story that is told by the scammer. Not everyone will argue like Tim was explaining that he was doing. So that is one aspect. And then those that were more recently in the news, because the high volumes are extremely frustrating, annoying, and they are also creating losses amongst the public, unfortunately. And then you have the real orchestrated, very sophisticated scams, like the one that was in the news earlier this year for OCBC, right? So that is more like social engineering, orchestration, and that is very professional.
The thing is, Thomas, I'm just wondering why so many people are still picking up these phone calls.
Because the calls on themselves are not the issue, right? It's like receiving an SMS or receiving a message or receiving an email.
But if we're talking about, you know, how some of us have learned not to pick up numbers with a local country code, how is it that so many other people are still not wise to all of this?
Because the country code rule is an indicator. It is not a 100% certainty that that is going to be a scam call. There are a lot of reputable businesses and genuine calls that are still coming in through the international gateways and therefore showing the plus 65 numbers. I think that if you go back to what can we do, right? What are the different stages in order to fight scam calls in this case, or scam SMS in general, scam across the communication channels for telco operators in Singapore, you have the first phase is the prevention, right? And I'm not talking about prevention in terms of educating the public. That is obviously very important and that is done, so that that aspect is taken care of. There are the brands that need to educate their customers also about their processes to make sure that they are not falling for divulging sensitive information through the wrong channels. But then from a telco perspective and with the help of IMDA, it's everything related to the KYC process. How do you actually even get a phone number from Singapore in the first place? Mm. What are the regulations in terms of the routes that telecom operators and their partners can use? And that's how we actually had the implementation of the Plus 65 rule. But that is a step that is also showing its limits. So you must know that Singapore is one of the best regulated markets in terms of telecommunications worldwide, by far. They have a very strict system of KYCs. Mm. The IMDA is very close to the telco operators like Toku and the incumbents. And they're working hand in hand with SPF as well. So from a regulatory perspective and the KYC portion, a lot has been done already. So after prevention comes the second step is, how are we not able to filter out these calls? Why can we not protect the communication channels in real time, right? So that's the part of control. And that's where we are actually introducing that AV handshake portion, where you are adding a layer of technology to fight back in this fraud cases, to make sure that when there is a call coming in, there is a verification to make sure that that call is genuine, is verified.
How does that work, Thomas? Not.
So actually the system is quite basic, right? So assuming that you are with, let's not advertise for any telco here, let's assume that you are with telco A, and you are their mobile subscriber, which means that the last mile for you to receive a call, they are the last barrier of protection, because no one else can reach that number than the owner of the number, the one that has assigned that number to you, so your mobile operator. So when there is a call that is triggered from Toku, and that is showing a CLI, a number that belongs to us, doesn't matter if it's a bit plus 65 or not. What we actually expect from the participating telcos to protect their own subscribers is that they would check with Toku first before they are actually connecting the call to you. And so the way it works is that they will just ask us, look, we have that incoming call with that number. Is that coming from your network or not? Because anyone could be using that number. That's called number spoofing. And if we answer negatively, say, look, sorry, but we don't have that call being triggered from our system, they have then the choice to decide either maybe to play a message or to warn you before you pick up, this call could not be verified, or simply to disconnect the call and just not let it through at all.
What can you tell us about the partnership specifically with Food Panda in terms of customers' online experience as well?
Well, that's, of course, a totally different topic from the scam that we were.
Yeah, you've got a contact center platform, right?
Yes, exactly. So from that angle, maybe to put things in context for the audience, Toku is a cloud-based customer engagement platform. So in that sense, we help brands to interact, to communicate with their audience. And so the telecommunication piece is very important because it's still largely the most ubiquitous form of communication. The phone number is the most adopted identity method worldwide by far, right? So the telecommunication piece remains very important, but then you are adding digital channels, the OTTs that you know, and also other in-house channels. And as part of that whole framework, we do have a solution that is a contact center piece in order to handle multiple channels, both digital and telco, for various brands. And Food Panda is indeed one of our customers. They've adopted that contact center solution last year for all their markets in APAC.
Going back to scam calls and robocalls and all that, you have all the necessary technology there to protect and prevent this from happening. But how far can this go, really, if a person is just vulnerable?
So because there are different aspects, and we were talking about the ability to be so sophisticated in the scam, right, that at that point in time, the communication channel, the protection that we can offer will be limited, right? Because the social engineering that is behind can be very, very impressive. And doesn't matter then if the contact is made through email, through WhatsApp, or through the communication. But here, I really believe that AB Handshake in general is a very straightforward method to protect the public and probably rule out the majority of the scam calls because of how easy it actually works, right? The only downside with the AB Handshake part is that it works based on a network effect. So if only Toku and a handful of operators are going to adopt it in Singapore, and at the moment we are the first, then the protection will be only limited to our numbers and the subscribers of the partners that we work with. But as soon as we can onboard a few of the larger MNOs and MVNOs and we have discussions with them, so it's looking promising, then there is a good layer of protection that will be added to the public.
The thing is, Thomas, a few steps have been taken. If we look at the macro picture, right? For instance, there's a new anti-spoofing registry that has been set up to protect sender IDs and, of course, block spoofed messages as well. Mm-hmm. Some people are still debating over 2FA via SMS. Is that even worth carrying on with? Now some organizations have added face verification. So considering all of this, do you really think we can stay ahead of the scammers and the phishing artists and so on? Any of these things really help in the long term?
Yes, we need to remain hopeful. So I'm convinced that there is a lot that can be done. There are low-hanging fruits. And some of the things that you just mentioned, right, in terms of the registry for the SMS sender ID, it addresses the sender, right? So in terms of reception and in terms of also the 2FA, 2FA through SMS remains extremely secure. There are more secure methods, but you also need to look at the operational aspect. The fact is that for SMS, you only need the mobile number of your customer. And that is, as we said, very ubiquitous because everyone has a mobile number. Well, while not everyone has, for example, a WhatsApp number or a Signal number or Telegram, Viber, whatever other channel that you want. And also these OTT channels that some are mentioning as one part of the solution, don't forget that these are fully owned by private entities and that these are not regulated. So I think that moving from a channel is not the solution here. It's just how are we going to improve it through prevention, which a lot of that has been done, as you said, and now through technology. And behind there is, of course, the repression part as well. It's every partner or every telco operator that would not sufficiently prove that they are making efforts in their fight against fraud, they should be disconnected. The repression towards the scammers as well is something that is increasingly done by SPF. And overall, it's about the coordination between all these parts of the movement, right?
All right. Thank you very much for that, Thomas. Thomas Laboul, founder and CEO of Toku. Thanks for joining us on Primetime.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.